Let's start off with prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for who you are and everything you do. Please come here right now. Please speak your truth through me to everyone's hearts here. Please, really rock all of our lives and make us more like you. We love you, Jesus. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. Excited to see everybody here today. Today we're going to be talking about burdens and yokes. Not the most popular topics in the church, but Jesus spoke about burdens and yokes. So if he spoke about them, they're obviously as good as anything to speak about here. This is what God has been teaching me over the last number of weeks. So it's very personal what I'm telling you today. I'll mention myself a lot. But that's the thing. What I'm giving you today is it's as much for me as it is for you. So let's look at the text, guys, starting in verse 25, Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son reveals him. All right, we'll stop there. So then, we need to remember as we're reading the Gospels all the time that we're watching Jesus speaking to first century Jewish men and women. It's essential that we understand that so we know what Jesus is talking about and what he's referencing. Now, the Jewish people at this time, hundreds of years before, they'd been given the law from God through Moses. And this law was not that long. This law could be contained in a few short books. That's what God gave them. But over time, the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, they kept adding things, a little more and more and more to the law, till by the time when Jesus came, the law that everyone was following, that the regular Jewish people were following, was this huge, mammoth, large burden that everyone had to bear. When God gave the law, it was given as a way to, as a response to God's love. It was, here's how you can show your faith and devotion to me. You know, it was a response to God's love. But as it grew and changed, it came to be seen as a way to get favor, a way to get favor with God and men. It had completely been turned around. But the thing is, if your favor with God is dependent upon how well you follow a list of rules, then it's guaranteed you'll either end up one of two ways. And this is what we saw as we read the Gospels. You either end up with guilt or you end up with pride. The Israelites that Jesus was speaking to, the majority of the people in Israel, they were burdened down with guilt because they were trying to follow this big, mammoth, heavy law. Okay, and when they weren't able to measure up to it, they took on guilt. And then year after year, as more and more they couldn't keep up, they just kept feeling worse and worse and worse, this guilt growing. Meanwhile, the teachers of the law, they thought, oh, I'm doing a great job with this. So then, as time went on, they grew in pride more and more and more, thinking they were really great, thinking that God really would be impressed with them, with what they were doing, with how well they were following the law. But when Jesus arrived, Jesus was not what either group was expecting. Okay? As I've said before, Jesus came bringing an upside-down kingdom where the greatest are the least, where those who mourn are comforted, where the sinners find forgiveness. Now, his message was too radical for many people. In fact, it was too radical even for whole cities. The Bible says there were some cities that Jesus went to, and he healed little or no people there because they literally didn't bother to bring their sick out to him. Like, they're just, we're fine. What do we need this Jesus guy for? They were blinded by their pride. Remember, we just read a minute ago that where Jesus says these things have been hidden from the wise and prudent, hidden because of their own pride. But these truths are not hidden from everybody. Jesus says here they've been revealed to babes. Babes are the humble people, those who can see our guilt and shame, and who come to Jesus humbly in order to receive forgiveness and redemption. So back to the text. We're looking at verse 28. Can someone get a handout to Jaritza over here? Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus has specified who he's talking to. He's not talking to the wise and prudent who think they have it all together. He's talking to the humble people, the people who've carried around the burdens of their religion all this time. The Israelites, they'd struggled under the weight and the burden of what they thought God wanted from them. But here Jesus shows up and he's offering them rest, something they weren't familiar with. But is the rest that Jesus mentions here, does it mean that they no longer would have anything to bear? When we think of rest, we think of stopping. We think of stopping what we're doing. We relate rest to inactivity. But the rest that Jesus is offering here is not related to inactivity. It's related to what yoke, what burdens we are carrying. Okay? When any of us carry the man-made burdens of religion, we become exhausted. We lose our joy. Because what joy is there in just doing chores for God? Jesus' rest is when we let go of what our culture, what our church, what our families, friends, and religion, what anyone says we should be doing, and instead we ask Jesus what he specifically wants us to be doing, what the yoke is that he has for us, what the burden is that he has for us in particular. None of us were made to carry the world on our shoulders. Only Jesus can do that. And that was the most profound thing Jesus was telling me this week. None of us were made to carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders. Literally, only Jesus can do that. But we each have our own special giftings and our own unique special callings on our lives. And these are things that we can handle and we can carry with joy. So let's think about giftings and callings. God has given each of us special giftings, and those giftings are related to our callings. For a practical example, let's look at Sam, senior back there. Sam has a really strong spiritual gift of wisdom. I don't know how many of you guys can see it, but it's amazing. You walk into the room with him, and I can feel it. And when I talk to him, it's amazing because it feels like he can see right through me. That's one of the cool things about wisdom. Wisdom sees past what's in front to the real heart of the matter. Okay? Now, Sam is gifted in wisdom. God gave him that gift. And he's able to use that in his calling to preach and teach the rest of us. God gave him that gift and wisdom so he can teach and grow and help us grow in our maturity. So, in my case, God has given me two gifts that I know for sure and that I use. They're gifts of prayer and discernment. And these two go hand in hand in my life. I feel things deeper on a deeper spiritual level than sometimes other people do, okay? I'm very in tune with the spiritual atmospheres around me at any point. If I sense that God's in the process of doing something amazing, I jump on board that in prayer. Say, yes, God, go, you know, pour out your blessings, do this, yeah, okay? But if I'm at a place and I feel something dark, something wrong, I'm able to then pray against that. I find it's so interesting that I can sometimes walk into a room with a whole group of people and everyone's fine, and yet I can sometimes feel something, like, ooh, something's not right, there's something wrong, you know? Then I can pray and discern what that is and pray to shift the atmosphere there. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was at Franklin Park down the street from here with the girls, and they were playing. And there was a whole bunch of other kids playing. It wasn't anything weird or out of the ordinary. And while we were playing, I noticed this big pile of guns, toy guns, off to the side of the playground, just in the grass there. Now, as I watched, this big group of kids ran over, okay, and they grabbed up these toy guns and they started distributing them among themselves. And soon they were rushing around the playground, all of Franklin Park, with these toy guns, and they were laughing and playing, hooping, hollering, and pretending to shoot and kill each other. Now, many people would see that, and they'd just see, oh, look, it's children playing. But it was amazing, because as I was watching these kids run around, suddenly in my mind's eye, they transformed. And as I was looking at them, I was seeing adults running around with real weapons, and they were shooting and killing each other. Yet they were completely desensitized. You could tell they didn't even understand the severity of what they were doing. So I did what I know to do in those situations. I prayed. I poured out blessings on those children, and I prayed freedom in their lives, freedom from violence. I prayed that they would see violence, that they would grow to see violence as the evil that it is, okay? And that they would never become immune to it, so that not a single one of the kids there in Franklin Park would ever grow up to be one of the people that I saw in my mind a few moments before. I will never know the specific, I will probably never know the specific outcome of those prayers on that day for those kids, but I do know that it's God who gave me that picture in my mind, and it's God who wanted me to pray. So in faith, I choose to believe that in some way my prayers that day affected the destinies of one or all of those children there. But later that same day, we were still at the playground, and the kids had stopped playing with guns. But I noticed that all the guns had been put in a pile, but it was actually on a landing a few steps up, on the actual play area, not off on the grass. So they were just sitting there in a big pile, and I was just standing off to the side, girls were playing, and I was just saw that and was looking at it. And then Piper came over, little Piper Joy, you know, 21 months old, and she climbed up, and she saw the guns, she looked at them for a minute, then she stepped right into the middle of the pile just and planted her feet right like that. But the minute her foot touched that landing, this boy on the other side of the park, his head jerked up, he saw it, he ran over, and he grabbed up all the little toy guns, and he left. I think he left the ground. I didn't see him again, nor did I see those guns. And in that moment, I heard Holy Spirit say in my brain, he said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." She had little tiny Piper Joy, she had single-handedly shifted the atmosphere in the playground. It was really cool. It was amazing to see. But that's not the end of that story. Because later, as I was thinking about this, thinking about Piper Joy and how cool that was, this group of teenagers came to the park, and they sat down at the picnic table over there. And I could feel it got uneasy again, like something was up, something was wrong. And soon this group of young teenagers, they began smoking pot, and they were carrying on and just doing their thing. This one mother who was over there, she gathered up her kids and left in a huff, you know, at the side of it. But it's not my thing. I'm not one to, you know, run at the side of drugs or whatever. But at the same time, you could feel there was something growing. Something was wrong there. So as they were doing their thing, okay, and I was thinking about this, this woman came from the alley down the street, and she was hunched over unnaturally, had some sort of disease or deformity or something. She was majorly hunched over, and she could not hardly walk, and she was pushing a cart slowly through the alley. And as she appeared, these teenagers began hollering over towards her. And they began making fun of her and making crass sexual jokes about her body as she came walking by. It was terrible. At that point, I didn't know what to do. Is there something I should say? Is there something I should do? Like, what? I knew this must stop. So I prayed and asked God, "What am I supposed to do?" And in my mind, he said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." And then I knew what I needed to do. Piper Joy had just minutes before, you know, stepped into that pile of guns and whoosh, it had to go, you know? And that was a prophetic picture. And now it was my turn. So I walked up to the table with a big smile and sat down with them and started talking to them about the weather. "Boy, it's a nice day out today. Ah, I'm so glad it's not cold like yesterday." And they were shocked and confused that I would encroach upon them like that. They were mildly high at that point, and the one boy, one of them had this like toy gun thing. So he picked it up and he brought it over and he put it up to my head and goes, "Pow, pow, pow." And the kids thought, the teenagers, they thought that was hilarious. So they all started laughing, hooting, and hollering. They thought that was great. Except they saw that it didn't affect me in any way. And they all became extremely uneasy at that point. And they all got up and they left immediately. And they were gone. And you could feel the atmosphere shift in that playground. It was cool. It was light again. It felt right again. It was perfect. God has given me my spiritual gifts. And because I carry them, I have a responsibility to use them for His glory. I carry those gifts with me, but they're not burdensome. They're amazing. And I love it. There are many giftings and callings, and each of us have our own specific ones and our own specific responsibilities related to that. Some people are gifted in helping. Some people are gifted in administration. Some people in prophecy, some in teaching, some in loving, some in hospitality, some in pastoring or shepherding, some in teaching, some in worship. As many people as there are, there's that many different unique giftings and callings that God has. We each must examine our own lives and pray and ask God what our own specific gifts are and what He wants us to do with those gifts. As far as I know, I am not gifted in administration. When I do that, it feels like I feel drained, and it feels like a chore. Some people don't like standing in front of other people, and that's okay. That's all that means is that their gifting is not to be standing in front, teaching and leading from the front of the room. You know, it's each of us has our own specific giftings. It's those things that we're passionate about. What is it that you love doing? What is it that fires you up? That's the question we all need to ask. Now, when you figured out what your specific gifts are, then you need to ask, what is my calling? What is it that God is calling me to do with these specific gifts He's given me, these things I love to do? Once you've figured that out, you need to let go of any burdens, anything you're carrying that's outside of that, in order to focus your time and emotional energy on what God has called you to do. We live in a world of what I call checklist Christianity. I call it that because I used to go to a church and they printed off a checklist of church ministries and they hung it in the hallway. And then that Sunday, the pastor went to the front and during his message, he said, "Now I want every single person here to go to the back after the service is over and I want you to check off 1, 2, 3 ministries and then sign up and those will be your ministries." But that's not the biblical model. Our ministry does not begin on a checklist. It begins with what God has planted in our hearts. The fact is that there's no checklist that can contain all of our unique callings and giftings. So as you look for what your specific calling is, look inside rather than out, because your calling grows out of who you are, who God created you to be. Jesus said that if we carry this specific burden or yoke or responsibilities that He has for us, then we will find rest. But it's very easy to take up, you know, those other responsibilities, other things that aren't ours to carry. It wasn't long ago that I was talking to Sam here about cleaning here at church, you know? I thought, I can spend Saturdays here cleaning at the church. That way, you know, that way we don't have to pay someone to do it. I mean, and I don't mind cleaning. In fact, I volunteer to do it at work. I'm like, that, I can do that. But over the last few weeks, God has been showing me that if I would take that on, that would be me acting out of religion. It would be me checking something off of my ministry checklist rather than me acting out of the calling God has put on my life. I was able to see that there's actually a form of pride in me that wanted to say, look, I'm so humble that I'm willing to do, you know, absolutely anything. But that's stupid. If I had gone through and taken on those responsibilities, I would have done a very good job, you know? I would have done it well. But at the same time, it would have been a demonic distraction from what God has from me. Satan does a great job of making us feel like there are all sorts of different things which we should be doing, when our only question needs to be what God specifically has called us to. We each one of us, we only have so much time and so much energy. And we need to be extremely intentional as to where we invest that. We weren't meant to carry heavy burdens that leave us exhausted. We were made to carry exactly what Jesus has for us, and that's it. When we are only carrying what he wants us to carry, it's then that we're able to find rest. But now, say that you've figured out what your giftings are, and say you've figured out what your calling is. There's still one really dangerous pitfall that you can fall into. Once you've found what your calling is, you need to discern the extent of your calling. What is the range of your calling? I have a prayer of gift and discernment. I use that to shift atmospheres. But what is the extent of that? What is the extent of my calling? Am I called to just my home? Is it my neighborhood, my city, my state, my country, the world? Or is it related not to a geographic region? Is it related to an issue that's mine that I need to, like, you know? That's questions I need to ask. I've been very exhausted over the last number of weeks. Briefly talked to Sam about this. And as I've thought about it, I've realized that I've been taking on, internalizing things that aren't mine to have, to hold, to deal with, to carry. For example, the conflict in Syria. I read what is going on, and I've let it weigh heavily on me. I've allowed it to weigh me down, as if it's my responsibility to be shifting personally what's going on in Syria. But that's not what I'm called to. Also, you heard about Miriam Carey, who was gunned down in D.C. by the megalomaniacs with badges. You know, I heard that, and I let it get me down. But am I called to Washington, D.C.? Like, is that my calling, to shift what's going on over there? No. My calling is right here in Allentown. In fact, it's a square that goes from Liberty Street to Linden Street. From 10th Street to 15th Street, it's a box with Christ Fellowship and Chew Street right smack dab in the middle. That's what I'm called to. And if I focus my time and energy here, I don't get worn out. I don't get exhausted. I know where God has called me to focus my energy. And we all have to ask the exact same thing once we know what our calling is. What is the range? What is the extent? What are we, you know, of our calling? I'm still learning and growing. But someday I see my responsibility as covering the entire city. I'm not there yet, but I know that if I bite off more than I'll chew, or more than I can chew, I'll just end up tired and unable to give God effectively what he wants to have from me. Now, so what I'm doing is I'm laying down all other yokes, all other burdens, all other things that aren't mine, and I'm taking up exactly what Jesus has from me. I'm using the gifts that God has given me, and I'm acting in the calling that he's called me to. And I'm using these gifts to bless this part of the city, right here. Now, you might be interested to know that since I've really been pouring my time and energy into here for a number of months, the violent crime has gone down right here in this part of the city. It's moved to South Allentown and other places. Now, I would obviously never, you know, wish violence on anyone else, but I'm praising Jesus that right here, where I pray and work, we've not been having the constant violent trouble that we had. Last year it was commonplace. You're hearing about it all the time. They're like, what, 3 murders right here? I mean, no, not this year. That's amazing. I can't, once again, say that it is specifically my doing. But I do know that God has called me here, and God has told me to pray and work right here. So I do know in faith that my work is at least partly responsible for that. That's cool. So let me ask you again to examine yourselves. What is it that God's put inside your heart, in your life, that fires you up in a good way? What's it that you're passionate about? Sam, Junior here, okay? He's passionate about unity in the church. I mean, you guys can see that when he's speaking here on Sundays. You know, so many times it goes back to you because that's something God's given him. He's passionate about it. So what are you passionate about? Is it your work? Is it a specific ministry? Are you called to be a smiling face in the midst of darkness? Are you called to open your home to people who don't have friends? Like, what is it? Are you called to preach on Sunday mornings or lead in children's church? Are you called, gifted and called in administration? We could sure use a gifted, focused administrator here at church. None of us are called to wear all the hats in our city. in our church, in our lives. We each have specific giftings and callings. And we need to let go of all those things which burden us down and only carry what Jesus specifically has for us, to take on his burden, his yoke. When we do that, it's then that we'll find rest. And we will be able to use our time and energy effectively and joyfully to glorify God. So, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for the work you're doing in each one of our lives. Thank you for the truth you're teaching us, for the what you're revealing to us every day. Thank you for making us more like you. I pray that you will guide and direct each of us, that you'll show us how you've specifically gifted us, what it is that you've specifically empowered us to do. And you'll show each of us what our specific calling is, Lord, and that it'll be clear. I pray that all exhaustion will go right now in Jesus' name, that we'll be a place of rest. Our church will be a place of gifts and callings and complete rest. When we come here on Sunday, we will be rested and ready, Lord, to learn about you and glorify you in everything we say and do. Please make us like you. Please let this truth pierce us deep, deep, deep. In your name, Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.